Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Radwan Ziadeh, who's the founder and director of the Damascus Center for Human Rights Studies. He's also a visiting scholar at the Carr Center for Human Rights at Harvard University and a visiting fellow at Chatham House, the Royal Institute of International Affairs in London. He also co-founded and directed the Syrian Center for Political and Strategic Studies in Washington, D.C. Previously, he was editor-in-chief of Tihrat magazine, the secretary of the Syrian Organization for Transparency. Welcome to Background Briefing, Radwan Ziadeh.
Thank you for having me.
The veto in the United Nations by Russia and China, I suppose, was not a surprise or unexpected, but clearly the European powers and the United States are furious with the Russians and the Chinese. In fact, Susan Rice, the U.S. representative, said that Russia and China would rather sell arms to this murderous regime than protect the Syrian people.
Unfortunately, the veto practiced by Russia and China sent the wrong message to the Syrian regime and to the Syrian people, because it gives the regime the green light to continue the killings. Because it will say, he will say that they are being protected by the international community and the Security Council cannot take action. At the same time, the people of Syria being frustrated about the lack of actions of the international community. It has been 7 months with no stop of protest every day, and the regime is continuing the killings. And they are actually waiting for a strong position of the international community and the Security Council. But unfortunately, the Security Council failed that any resolution, even that condemned the violence against the protesters in Syria.
So, but do the Syrian people know this? I mean, there's obviously a press blackout, and you have the state media that is a propaganda machine. But are the Syrian people getting other information from the rest of the world, and they know it's not the world that's not protecting them, it's Russia and China that's preventing the action?
Of course they know. The Syrian people, they are actually following up what's going on in Syria through the media, through Al Jazeera, Al Arabiya, CNN, and other international channels. And they know exactly, and they've been protesting against the Russian position and the Chinese positions in every Friday. They've been burning the Russian flags, the Chinese flags, and actually what's happened, the veto of Russia and China, will galvanize the public opinion more in Syria against the two countries, Russia and China. And I don't think that any of the protesters on the ground have any doubt that the support of the Russian regime to the Syrian regime, that means both they are led by dictatorships, and this is why they have the same interests and the same values.
So, Radwan Ziadeh, again, the founder and director of the Damascus Center for Human Rights Studies. About 3,000 Syrians, as much as we know, have been killed by their own government, by the security services, the intelligence services, and the military, led by the brother of the dictator, Maha Assad, who heads up the 4th Division and the Republican Guards. And apparently, he's coordinating all of this killing. But my understanding is that a lot of what's happening now is that Syrian army units are defecting, perhaps in small numbers, because the Alawites control the army completely, and it's very difficult. I mean, any military officer or enlisted soldier in the Syrian army has a terrible choice, you know, to kill their own people or to be shot in the back by Maha Assad's thugs. Where does that stand, the control of the Alawites of the military?
Unfortunately, that there is no difference between Bashar al-Assad and his brother Maher al-Assad. Even that Maher al-Assad being seen right now, the dirty face of or the ugly face of the dirty job in Syria, but in collaborating and coordinating with all of these killings and torturing the people through with his brother Bashar. This is why the Syrian people actually, they do understand, since Syria under more than 47 years under state of emergency, and being controlled, the state being controlled by the security forces. We have more than main administrations for the security forces. And you cannot actually enter any newspaper without getting permission. This is why they surprised when the regime propaganda repeating every day that the killings are being done by the armed gangs. And nobody understand who is this armed gangs and where are they coming from. This is the regime himself, they know the truth, but they need actually trying to confuse the international community and to confuse the Syrian people. But everyone knows exactly that Bashar al-Assad, along with his brother Maher al-Assad, both are responsible on the killings.
And the armed gangs that the government is trying to demonize, are they defecting military units?
There are defection among the army every day on different levels, but mostly on the low-ranking levels and the middle-ranking levels. There is no defection in the high-ranking levels because there is no safe zone. This is why the people, they start calling and asking for no-fly zone and for safe zone along with the borders with Turkey, because this is will be actually encourage more army officers to defect, because they will and to organize themselves and start to liberate other cities in Syria. Unfortunately, that it has been 7 months, and the way that the people keep it peaceful is not worked out with the regime. And now the people, after the example of Libya, are more encouraged to take weapons and start fighting against the Assad militia.
So when you call for a no-fly zone, that is a military intervention which would involve foreign powers, and that changes the entire nature of what's been happening so far. It's been a Syrian revolution against its own dictatorship that this particular family and this clan believe they have the divine right to rule Syria forever. And they will do anything to hold on to power. And clearly, Russia and China's veto at the United Nations is a preemptive move to prevent this beginning of arming the Syrian opposition, or at least helping the military units who are defecting. So are you saying, Radwan Ziadeh, that this struggle is changing now into an armed struggle, or it will change into an armed struggle?
Unfortunately, that more people right now, they've been actually start talking about taking arms to defend themselves after the high number of the killing and the case of the rape being actually increased in the city of Homs. But still the overwhelming of the protest in Syria is still peaceful. But I'm saying that this is it cannot stay for long, since the regime is not giving any chance to stop the killings for the peaceful protest. And this is why, and the responsibility of the international community, the lack of action, the lack of action of the international community, of course, will radicalize also the people on the ground. And this is how we have been witnesses that after the failure of the Security Council to adopt the resolution.
Well, the Turkish government seems to be stepping in, given the failure. Now, the Europeans and the United States have imposed sanctions, and apparently those sanctions are affecting the elite in Syria and the merchant class, who the Assad regime have essentially bought off. So, obviously, they're starting to bite a little bit. The Turkish government have announced that they're going to send military units down to the border and conduct military maneuvers. Are the Turks going to create a kind of safe zone on the borders for Syrian...
The Turks actually will play the critical role here in Syria, because the Turks, they have the longest border with the Syrians, and they always already been engaged by putting sanctions on the Assad regime. And maybe they announce more sanctions soon. And the people, they are actually in Syria, they're looking for more role of the Turkish leadership. This is why I expected that if Turkey can play a role, that role will be respected by the Syrian people and by the public opinion of the Arab world.
So what do you expect to happen then with these Turkish military maneuvers on the border? I understand that on the border with Iraq and Syria, in Al-Anbar province of Iraq, there's a lot of sympathy for the rebellion inside of Syria. Is it likely that you're going to have sanctuaries across the border, and will there be eventually cross-border military action, and will the rebels find sanctuary and then find arms as well?
Most probably this will be the case. And because we in April, we expected more actually restriction of the army to play a different role. As we know, in Tunisia and Egypt, the army played the important role. Refused to open the fire on the protesters and enforce the president to step down. This is not the case in Syria. You can see that in Libya, that part of the army, along with the part of who been defected, start organizing the rebels and start attacking the Qaddafi militias. I think that we are entering in the same road, unfortunately.
Well, the difference between Syria and Libya would be that in the case of Syria, NATO will not intervene. I don't think that's a realistic expectation, is it?
Will not intervene, but we have to wait. Maybe that the Arab League, when we will push for that, and I think the situation on the ground is escalating. This is, will be a change in the role of the NATO. In nobody expected that the NATO would intervene in Libya, but after the pressure from the Arab League, I think the NATO agreed through the Security Council to intervene in Libya, and maybe we expected the same in Syria.
So would this then lead to a kind of regional confrontation? If you have Saudi Arabia's already expressed its disgust with the Assad regime, and they're obviously in solidarity with the rebellion in Syria, the Turks are moving their military to the border and conducting maneuvers. The Arab League is likely to support the rebellion. The US, Israel, and NATO seem to be on the sidelines. But you've got Iran supporting Assad. So just walk us through whether this will become a regional proxy war.
I don't think Iran actually will intervene in any way supporting or backing the Syria regime militarily. We have been, this question has been raised before with the fight between Hezbollah and the Israeli. And the Iranian at that time stayed silent, despite of sending maybe weapons to the Hezbollah through back channels. But here's the same. It's not among the Iranian interests actually to intervene to support the Assad regime where that the Assad is continuing the people. This is why I don't expect that will be an regional fighting between the regional powers, rather than it will be actually more focused on the domestic issues in Syria.
So what do you expect to happen in real terms? Because the unarmed protesters have been massacred by the government. 3,000 have been killed at least. Thousands more have been detained. And we know that this regime is capable of the most hideous torture. You have units of the military trying to escape from within the bubble that the Alawite officer corps creates, where they lock them down inside their barracks. Somehow their smaller units are managing to defect. They're going to go into Turkey, and there'll be an armed rebellion that'll be sort of a nurtured, if you will, on the in these safe zones on the border, that will lead to a kind of a civil war. Is that? I'm just trying to sketch out where things are likely to go. Can you add to that scenario?
It's very early, actually, to predict such kind of things. Syria has no history of civil war before. And this is why maybe the regime, even that, is investing on the civil war.
Well, isn't the regime encouraging ethnic divisions? Isn't it playing the...
Exactly, because the overwhelming of the Shabiha, the Fox, and the security are Alawite. Those who are carrying out the killings, carrying out the torture. But after actually 6 months of the people who are resisting against any kind of ethnic fight, I think that at the end that all the regime propaganda will fail and the unity of the Syrian people will prevail. It's not an easy. This is why the international community has to take actions. Otherwise, actually, the chaos in Syria will spread all over the region.
Well, just in closing, Radwan Ziadeh, what should the international community do, notwithstanding the veto in the Security Council by the Russians and the Chinese?
I think the United States and Europe have to think. If they cannot get that resolution adopted by the Security Council, maybe they have to intervene alone, as they did in Kosovo and in Bosnia before. If we got the support of the Arab League, and the Russia is still resisting, actually there is no reason for the international community, the EU and the US, to intervene alone.
Well, it sounds like Turkey would be the way to organize an intervention, right?
But Turkey, it cannot do that without actually coordination with the international community. This is why...
But Turkey is a member state of NATO.
Yes. But they have to coordinate all actions to the other member states and especially the United States.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Radwan Ziadeh.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Again, I've been speaking with Radwan Ziadeh, the founder and director of the Damascus Center for Human Rights Studies. He's also a visiting scholar at the Carr Center for Human Rights at Harvard University and a visiting fellow at Chatham House, the Royal Institute of International Affairs in London. He also co-founded and directed the Syrian Center for Political and Strategic Studies in Washington, D.C. Previously, he was editor-in-chief of Tehrat Magazine and secretary of the Syrian Organization for Transparency. And this has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I would like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can sign up and also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.
Soldiers Come From follows the 4-year odyssey of childhood friends forever changed.